My guest at this time is Alex Schadenberg. He is the executive director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, and he's the executive producer of the brand new documentary, The Euthanasia Deception. The film examines the impact of legal euthanasia that it's had on Belgium over the past 15 years and what lessons the rest of us can take from that. And Alex, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm really happy to be with you right now.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of different aspects that come up in this documentary that lasts nearly an hour, and we're going to put in a couple of short clips along the way to discuss some of the bigger points, and we're going to start with this one.
In Belgium, patients are killed by euthanasia at the first diagnosis of Alzheimer or of a malignant disease of a cancer.
If the accent was difficult for folks to understand there, Alex, the point was that at the first diagnosis of Alzheimer's or the first diagnosis of a malignant cancer, patients are euthanized. So is that the way this law was intended, or is that the unintended consequence of this law?
Well, the people don't have to understand that in Belgium, euthanasia is not limited to terminal illness. So therefore, what's happened is over time, people, the culture has become very pro-accepting of euthanasia. So what the doctor was saying there is his experience is now people are just giving up on life because euthanasia is an option. They're just saying, I have cancer, I have early stage Alzheimer, early stage dementia, and they ask for euthanasia and they qualify. And this is where their culture has gone. And so the video is warning the world that, you know, what you're hearing from the media and the general media, et cetera, is not true. That what happens in the culture when you allow for euthanasia or assisted suicide is it changes the attitude in general towards dying in one way, but in the second way, towards causing the death of somebody, and it becomes very much just part of what they do.
It sounds from this documentary, Alex, that there's a lot of pressure put on the patient, whether it's by insurance companies that will pay for euthanasia but not pay for actual treatment of a condition or palliative care, and even from the medical community. How common is that?
Well, you actually see a fair amount of death that is not by consent. So the video doesn't deal with all that. We're dealing primarily with these stories of what happens to people and who had direct experience with euthanasia. So the one story is of a gentleman who's talking about the death of his mother and how the family felt pressured to accept euthanasia of their mother. There's another story of a man whose grandfather was died by euthanasia, and no one knew, no one was asked. And so what you have is you have this cultural, how would you say, shift that goes on over time, that these things are happening, and how do you then deal with it? Because it seems to become sort of accepted. If it's okay to cause someone's death, some doctors, some medical people will take advantage of the law. I've done a fair amount of research on this, and the studies show that in Belgium, about one-third of all assisted deaths are done without request.
And a lot of times, euthanasia is being recommended for a patient who is supposedly very near death, or sometimes not all that near death, but given a terminal diagnosis, and there's no consultation with the family member or even an opportunity for such a thing.
Right, and that's one of the other stories in the video of Tom Mortier, who's a chemistry professor, and his mother died by euthanasia. She was depressed. She died by euthanasia through the euthanasia clinic in Belgium, and he in no way knew his mother was going to die by euthanasia. It was just a shock to him. He was just told to call the hospital and find out his mother had just died and to talk to them about what happened to his mother, and he finds that it was a euthanasia death, you know, and it was just a shock to him. Yes, his mother was depressed, but no, his mother was completely healthy, and, you know, he lost his mother, his children lost their grandmother, his sister lost her mother, and she was just simply depressed and needing support.
Here was another unbelievable story from the documentary, and this is in relation to a relative who visited a patient who was facing euthanasia.
An aunt of mine was visiting him, and she was giving him some water. And one of the nursing staff came by and said to her, "Don't do that, you're prolonging the process of his dying." And she said, "What?"
So a relative was scolded, essentially, for giving water to a terminally ill patient, or at least one that had been marked for euthanasia. And so it sounds like they're basically not even permitted to use compassion in some of these cases.
Well, Hendrik Reitsma has gotten involved in opposing euthanasia because of what happened to his grandfather. His grandfather had cancer, and the doctor said to his grandmother, you know, do you want to keep your husband comfortable? And she says, yeah, of course I want to keep my husband comfortable. In no way did she realize what he was actually meaning by that was euthanasia. They had no idea. And then when it was way too late, that's when the aunt suddenly had that experience. And no, they didn't say, oh, would you like your husband or your, you know, in the case of his grandmother, to die by euthanasia? No one asked anything like that. No, no, no. It was simply the question, do you want him to be kept comfortable? And so this is that story. And you also get the story of, which is a very important story, Lionel Roosevelt talks about his disabled daughter. And now she's 20 years old, his daughter. But when she was a little bit younger, he remembers being asked on several occasions, just going for a walk with the family, and he's got his daughter in the wheelchair. And yes, she has significant disabilities, but people come up and say, why didn't you have your daughter euthanized? Like, that's a shocking cultural thing to happen to you, that you would think that when you're going for a walk with your disabled daughter and the rest of your family, that this would be a question someone would think is reasonable to ask you.
We're talking with Alex Schadenberg. He's the executive director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition and executive producer of the new documentary, The Euthanasia Deception. And Alex, your opponents could see this perhaps and say, well, I may concede that there's some problems with the implementation here. What we really need is just a better written law so that problems like this don't arise and there's more clarity and so forth. But can you have euthanasia without these sorts of issues arising?
Well, the problem is, how does it change the individual? How does it change the culture in general? Because the concept now is it's okay to cause the death of somebody. It's okay to do that. It's okay to end their life. Now the only question remaining is, well, for what reason will we do that? So everything starts to change under the rubrics of, well, euthanasia is acceptable, therefore, who will we now do this to? I think that you can't have any safeguards that will ever, ever make it safe, per se. It's just not possible. And the reason we went to Belgium is they have a 15-year history almost now. It's about 15 years. And it's important to say, well, okay, you know, US may say, oh, well, we have euthanasia. We just legalized it in Canada. So what's happening in Canada? Well, you don't know what's going to happen in Canada until you go 15 years down the road. And then you'll say, oh, well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. The problem is, by the time you're asking the question to see if it was or wasn't a good idea, by then it's become so culturally ingrained that it's almost impossible to convince people that what they did to their mother or what they did to their friend was not an acceptable thing to do.
Alex, there are 5 U.S. states, I believe, that have legalized assisted suicide. Are we seeing the same things in those states, particularly those that have had it for a few years now? I know one goes back to the 90s and another one goes nearly a decade old.
We have some stories out of Oregon and Washington State. The data out of Washington State and Oregon does show that there are some problems. The problem is that, first of all, there isn't as much. I have to admit, because it's assisted suicide and not euthanasia, so it's a little different. Euthanasia is done by lethal injection, whereas assisted suicide is done by the doctor giving the person a lethal prescription, and then they take the lethal drugs themselves. This is not about an accidental overdose. Let's be clear. It's not about an overdose of a drug. It's about the use of a lethal drug. But the point of it is that with euthanasia, there tends to be more killing because it's easier as human beings to get someone to do it to you than to do it to yourself. So, in fact, the numbers are higher in Belgium and the Netherlands, and I'm assuming in Canada the numbers will be higher. But secondly, we do have some stories, but they're very few. And one of the reasons is that the system in Oregon and Washington State, where it's been legal for a while, is very closed. It's a closed system, and it's very hard to get any information whatsoever. And remember, it's all done by a self-reporting system, meaning the doctor who's directly involved with the assisted suicide death in Oregon and Washington State is also the doctor who sends in the report. So what you have is you have a self-reporting system, and it makes it very hard to uncover any abuse of the law. Doctors do not admit to abusing the law. They won't self-admit it. And the same thing is in Belgium and the Netherlands. It's hard to find these are stories. The reason we got stories from people about what's happened to them or their family member is because it's very hard to get it any other way. There's some research showing abuse, but you need to get it directly from people who experienced the situation. And that's what we've done.
What's your answer to the basic argument made by those who are in favor of euthanasia, that this is the ultimate act of autonomy? You should be able to decide when you die, how you die, it's all on your terms. What do you say?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of assumptions in that, because the fact of it is it's talking about autonomy, but it's not exactly an autonomous act, because when we're talking about euthanasia, we're talking about somebody else lethally injecting you. So it's not really the same idea as autonomy. And even in assisted suicide, you're talking about the decision of the doctor to be directly involved with the provision of a lethal dose. So it's not exactly autonomy per se in the truest sense. But the second thing is you cannot divorce the attitude of the doctor or the other people from the decision. You cannot, because it's not a lone decision. It's not like someone who causes their own death alone. It's someone else is directly involved with causing that death. And you cannot separate that out. So it's not clearly about autonomy. And the final thing with the whole thing is, it's the whole autonomy thing is really a lot to do with selling it to our culture, because our culture is all about autonomy. This act is about somebody else having the right in law to cause your death. That's what assisted suicide and euthanasia does in its law. See, you have to actually examine, what does the law actually say? The law says the doctor will decide whether or not you can have euthanasia or assisted suicide. So when you legalize, you're actually giving the doctor the right in law to be directly involved with causing your death. So that's a very different question now. Can you ever protect yourself from a doctor who might have a very pro-euthanasia attitude? And remember, you're talking about people who are often very depressed, very down, going through a very difficult time of their life. This is not the proper human response to that situation. It's just not right that we cause the death of people who are depressed and going through a difficult time.
We're talking with Alex Schadenberg. He's the executive director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, executive producer of the new documentary, The Euthanasia Deception. And just a couple of quick questions before we let you go here, Alex. First of all, on the numbers, and as you've pointed out, it's hard to get a good solid number on that because of the sketchy reporting of them. But what do we know for sure about the number of euthanasia deaths, as well as the number that perhaps don't even go reported?
Okay, the unreported deaths, we know a fair amount of that out of Belgium because they had a recent report that was published in 2015 that was looked at the year 2013. And so what they did is they did a death study that looked at all deaths, and they found that 1.7% of all deaths, which is about one-third, a little about 30%, one-third of all the assisted deaths were done without any request. The doctors just took it in their own hands and did it. And usually those people had Alzheimer's or dementia. In Oregon and Washington State, they've never done a death study to look at all deaths to try and uncover the thing. What we do know is in Washington State and Oregon, every year when you look at the reports, there is several deaths that they have no information on. So you have an under-reporting problem even there, even in the U.S., where they're causing death by assisted suicide, you have an under-reporting problem. And we know that in Belgium and the Netherlands, that when the abuse occurs, that's where you see the under-reporting going on. Doctors tend not to report at all when they did something that was outside of the law. So anyway, the fact of it is that there are a fair amount of assisted suicide deaths, but euthanasia is very common. The latest data showed about 4.6% of all deaths, which is, you know, about 4,000 euthanasia deaths in Belgium alone, which is a tiny country. Very tiny country. And so you have to understand that it grows every year. And in assisted suicide, every year in Oregon and Washington State, we have more assisted suicide deaths. It keeps growing every year. It becomes more and more popular over time. And remember, most doctors actually don't want anything to do with this. This is not a situation where doctors are clamoring for the right to assist the suicide or euthanize your patients. But there are some who are willing to do it and willing to do it freely. This is a great difficulty, because the question is it ever right for someone else to be directly involved with causing your death? And the answer is no.
Alex, I'm going to play one more clip here and then a couple of questions off of that. This was also from the trailer for the new documentary, The Euthanasia Deception.
What is our society becoming? It's a quality society. Only the best will survive.
Only the best will survive. It's a quality society as a result of euthanasia. What are we learning about how people value human life when this is an option?
Well, as Tom Mortier, that was his quote, pointing out is that what's happened in Belgium is that if you have any sort of sickness, disease that is considered somewhat serious, even if it's in its earliest stages, he's pointing out, well, you know, your life is seen, you're seen as better off dead. The cultural shift has occurred. And so there are, of course, some people who continue to receive treatment, and a good majority continue to. But for a lot of people, it's just we're going to go to the euthanasia clinic and get it done. And there is a euthanasia clinic, which is a very sad situation. You have people, that's all they do is euthanize people. In the Netherlands, they have these roving euthanasia clinics. They have these, the doctor comes to your house in a vehicle and assesses you and decides yes, no, and gets it done. This is a very, cold culture when we're involved with cause and the death of people in such a way. And this is where it goes. So he says, you know, we're becoming a quality society. What he's saying is the attitude towards the most vulnerable has shifted in Belgium. We have shifted our attitude. Do we want to do that in America? Do we want to see people with disabilities or people with difficult conditions? Do we want to see them as less than worth living? He's suggesting that's exactly what's going on in Belgium, and that's exactly what you're going to experience here. And we have to make sure that this is not legalized. This fact you mentioned about five states. In fact, sadly, California just legalized assisted suicide, and that's a very sad situation. But we often talk about Montana. Technically, Montana did not legalize assisted suicide. And so that's a whole other question. So technically, really, there's only four states, not to say that that's any less sad as there being, but there really should be no states that are legalized assisted suicide.
Alex, we thank you very much for the generosity of your time today. Real quick, if folks want to see this documentary, how do they do that?
They go to caringnotkilling.com, and on caringnotkilling.com is all the information about how to order it. You can see the trailer, and you can read about the different stories about it, and there's different information. Caringnotkilling.com, caringnotkilling.com.
Again, the documentary is The Euthanasia Deception. And Alex Schadenberg, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Alex Schadenberg, again, Executive Director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition and Executive Producer of The Euthanasia Deception. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.